Young men are able to come forward and lead singing, and I appreciate Thomas doing that. Thomas, do you have an invitation song for us?
867.
Number 867. So mark number 867, and we'll be led in that shortly. So can you believe it's already almost November? Next weekend, we'll get ready to flip the calendar over to November. It's starting to get cold in the evening, and November's a great time of year. When I think about November, though, I think about thankfulness. And a lot of us in our community and here in the church, our minds will be focused on things that we're thankful for. And so I've been thinking recently about this congregation and some things that I'm thankful for. Thankful for things that we share in common as a congregation. First of all, we continue to have many visitors. We had several visitors earlier at the morning service, and if you're visiting with us, we appreciate you being here and hope you'll give us a chance to know you a little better. We've got BJ and Christy Davis that have placed membership with us last week, and so we're really glad that they're back. They're a familiar face, had been with us before, and we're really glad that circumstances have allowed them to come back and be with us. I thought about it. Thankfulness from this congregation in the sense we've recently fired up a program, a lunch at the White House to welcome our visitors, and that's really going well. We appreciate everyone doing that. That's a great service. We've installed new elders recently, and I will say we're now meeting on a weekly basis every week, and I'm really thankful for the job that Rob and David had done and the hard work they put in for so long in serving this congregation. We can be thankful for that. We've got a new website that'll be launching soon. A lot of work behind the scenes with Kayla and several others writing content. So in a very short period of time, we're going to have a whole new platform to minister to our community and to give people a new insight into what's going on here at the Lake Norman congregation. We've made a lot of plans in the last few months on a new building. There's a lot of work going on with that. We appreciate the effort there. John tells us we've had strong interest in a lot of resumes received for a new congregational minister. So a lot of good stuff there. My point is there's a lot of great things going on in this congregation. There's a lot of things that we as a church family can reflect on and think about, ways that God has blessed us this year, and we have a lot of exciting things coming up. So turn in your Bibles as we think about tonight's lesson to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. You can read that on the screen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. In this passage, it says, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last day, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.' But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction for the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance." Tonight's topic, I'd like to spend a few minutes on patience, on this nature of God and this commandment that we've been giving to be patient. And what a great lot of lessons we can learn from God's command from being patient. We find out in this scripture, to God, one day is like 1,000 years. And we also find out that God keeps his promise. God will fulfill his promise, but at his time and at his appointed time. Again, through this message, not wanting anyone to perish. He's patient with us. Patient wanting us to turn to repentance. We find this concept of patience again in the New Testament in Galatians. It says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." So think about that concept of patience. I'll give you an illustration of patience from a 1987. I know we've got some NASCAR fans in here in this part of North Carolina. 1987 was a really pivotal year for NASCAR. During that year, you see, cars, up until that time, cars kept going faster and faster through the 60s, bigger engines, more powerful engineering and so forth, faster and faster and faster. And then Bill Elliott, on May 3rd, 1987, set the all-time NASCAR speed record at 212 miles an hour, and that record stands to this day, 212.5 miles per hour, the fastest track time ever at Talladega. But on this day, something else happened. A major crash for NASCAR at that time. You see, that crashed into the catch fence. It's a miracle. There weren't a lot of people killed through this crash. And you see, what happened was the cars kept going faster and faster, faster, until they absolutely blew apart. They could not handle the speed, and there were some significant consequences. And so, as a result, NASCAR took a step back and said, "You know what? These cars are just too fast. It's time to stop that." And so that's where you see, if you've ever followed NASCAR and you've heard of restrictor plate racing, restrictor plate racing started at this race. The same race where they set the speed record, they finally realized, because of stuff like this, maybe it's not so good to go fast. Maybe it's not so good to be in this situation. Think for a second about our modern life today. And many of you have been here and you've seen some of these innovations, and you think about what's present in our world and what pressures we're faced with. Think about, here's the amount of time that it took for these technologies to get to 5 million users, right? With radio, 38 years. With TV, 13 years. With the internet, 4 years. With Facebook, like 3 months. Things are getting faster and faster, and there's more and more challenges that are pushing back against patience, that are pushing back against the trait that we try to exhibit as Christians that is inherent in God. But think about the difference between the world's view of patience and the biblical view of patience. Think for just a moment about these characters in the Bible. Abraham, remember the promise that was made to Abraham, he'll have a son. He'll ultimately nations of the world will be blessed. Abraham waited 25 years for that promise until his son was born. Think about that amount of time, patience. That's a long time to wait in today's mindset. Think about Joseph. We've been studying about Joseph on Wednesday nights and in our Bible classes as well. Waited roughly 23 years from the time he was sold into captivity until the time that he realized and understood God's plan when his brothers came to Egypt. 23 years. Think about the journeys of his life during that period of time. Patience. Patience through that. Think about David. David waited roughly 20 years from the time he was anointed by Saul until the time he was king over Israel. 20 years. Patience. Think about the nation of Israel, waited 40 years in the desert before reaching the promised land. Again, patience. So somebody asks, well, why doesn't God just work faster? Why couldn't Abraham be given the son immediately? Why couldn't Joseph not have to endure those 23 years? Why couldn't David be king immediately? Well, you know, we know from studying the Bible, they weren't ready, right? God works things on his time at the right time. And so that's something that is that we need to think about. Patience and waiting is not an inconvenience. It is not something that should be looked down upon or eliminated or a flaw of our previous world. It's a critical component of spiritual development as we strive to be more and more like God. So what are the different ways that we convey patience and practice patience and demonstrate patience? As we think about our physical world. Think about the patience that tries us just in physical things. This is a top left corner, a shot of I-77. We joked this afternoon at the elders' meeting. It was jammed up on a Sunday afternoon. How does that happen on a Sunday afternoon? It's constantly, you constantly test your patience here in the local area. You're patient at Walmart. Maybe you're patient in healing. Just as you know, you're thinking about a football player or somebody that's had a physical infirmity and ready to get back in the game, but it just takes time. You have to be patient. And it's trying sometimes. Found this picture as well. Sometimes we want to grow up too fast. You know, I've heard kids say, well, if I could just get to high school. Boy, if I could just get to college. Boy, if I could just hit this next. Well, a lot of times we're impatient around growing up. And it's, it's something that happens throughout life. We need to be patient in our physical world. Think about patience as it relates to relationships. Think about patience. When is so-and-so going to treat me differently? When are these relationship dynamics going to be worked out? Think about the opportunity that we have to exhibit patience in relationships. It's very, 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 very important. And then think about patience in spiritual things. Think about the waiting that we've described in the Bible through some of these biblical characters. Think about prayers answered for greater spiritual wisdom. Think about all of those things that we pray for. Sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes it is important to wait and be patient. So what I want to talk about a little bit tonight is what should we do while we're waiting? If waiting is important, and if God commands us to be patient, what should we do as individuals? What should we do as a congregation? What should we do as a people as we are patient and as we're waiting, while we're waiting? One thing we can do is, and that's commanded in the Bible in terms of being patient and while we're waiting, is we should pray. I'm going to read for you in 1 Samuel chapter 1, the first 11 verses. It says, there was a man from the hill country of Ephraim. He had two wives. The name of the first was Hannah, and the name of the second was Peniah. Now Peniah had children, but Hannah was childless. Year after year, this man would go up from the city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. And it was there that the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, served as the Lord's priests. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he used to give meat portions to his wife Peniah and to all her sons and daughters, but he would give a double portion to Hannah, because he especially loved her. Now the Lord had not enabled her to have children. Her rival wife used to upset her and make her worry, for the Lord had not enabled her to have children. Peniah would behave this way year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the Lord's house, Peniah would upset her so that she would weep and refuse to eat. Finally, her husband Elkanah said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and eat? Why are you so sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? On one occasion in Shiloh, after they'd finished eating and drinking, Hannah got up. Now at the time, Eli the priest was sitting by his chair in the doorpost of the Lord's temple. She was very upset as she prayed to the Lord, and she was weeping uncontrollably. She made a vow, saying, O Lord of hosts, if you will look with compassion on the suffering of your female servant, remembering me and not forgetting your servant, give me a male child to your servant, then I will dedicate him to the Lord all the days of his life, and his hair will never be cut. So you think that there was a lot of patience involved for her as she's waiting year after year, suffering year after year. Think about the prayer that she prayed and the willingness through that experience to give up who we later know as Samuel, through that example. So very important for us to pray. We're commanded first in Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. It said, and God will exalt you in due time if you humble yourselves under his mighty hand by casting all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. Our God cares for us. We'll use that time as we're waiting to pray. As well in James 5:16, it says, so confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great effectiveness. Rob's been leading us on Sunday morning and some thoughts around prayer. What an appropriate time it is to pray while we are waiting, as we exercise patience. Another thing that we can do as we're exercising patience, in addition to pray, also listen to God. We know that this means reading the Bible. This means listening to what God is saying, being careful and understanding the words that He has presented to us. I'll tell you, I am probably the world's greatest listener. You're not going to believe this, but I am. Sometimes, though, Angie gently reminds me that it's not great to listen when you're reading the paper and listening. It's hard to do two things at once. And she's right. It is. Despite what a great listener you are, you can't do two things at once. Listening takes your entire devotion and your entire attention. But don't we do that sometimes with the Bible? You know, hey, just get 5 minutes in while I'm driving down the road. Get quick. Try to multitask. That's not the type of listening that is spoken of in the Bible. When you think about Psalms 37 and verse 7, it talks about wait patiently for the Lord, wait confidently for Him. Do not fret over the apparent success of a sinner, a man who carries wicked schemes. Talking about waiting patiently, using that quiet time to reflect, to study, so forth. Matthew 11, verse 28, 29, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Sometimes during this period of waiting, during this time of patience, it's an opportunity for us to pray. It's an opportunity for us to read our Bibles. It's an opportunity for us to listen to God. It's impossible to listen if you're so busy. Just use that time of patient waiting to study. So we pray, we listen to God. The other thing to do while we're waiting is obey. Very important. John chapter 14, verses 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Obeying while we're waiting is very, very important. While we're being patient, we must obey. There's two examples in Genesis from this we've been talking about. Abraham and Sarah. Remember the example of Abraham and Sarah, promise that was given to Abraham, as we spoke of earlier, the 25 years that he waited. Kind of took things in his own hands during that period and started to try to solve things on behalf of God instead of waiting for God. You see the consequence, the birth of Ishmael. That wasn't the promise that God had given him. But think about Joseph. We talked a lot about Joseph in those 23 years that he spent. Think about the obedience and the way that he, while he was waiting, while he was patient, he was very obedient to God. And the example that he demonstrated for his master, for Pharaoh, for others around him. He was faithful to what he should be doing during that period of trial. And that's the same thing we need to do. When we're faced with a situation that calls upon our patience, we've got to pray, we've got to study, and we've got to obey and be an example during that period of time. In the other thing we could do, look for good. You can look for good during times of patience while we're waiting. I'm going to read from Philippians 4, verse 6 and 8, 6 through 8. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but by everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts through the minds of Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." During the time that we're waiting, during the time that we're being patient, what a great opportunity. It's important for us to notice the way that God is working in our lives, be thankful, and look for good that is happening, because it's everywhere. And that's one of the things, as I mentioned, about Thanksgiving, about this time of year, as the seasons change, as we reflect on noticing things within the congregation and things around us, look for good. Let's read as well Philippians 4, verse 46. Philippians 4. Sorry, we'll move on there. It's important for us to be thankful. The other thing, as we think about something to do while we're waiting, is do something for others. Doing something for others. Read in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 10. It says, So we must not grow weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let's do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of faith. It's important for us to do good to others. You know, the best thing when things aren't going your way, when you're depressed, when things just don't seem to be in your court, the best medicine is to reach out and help others. And it's important to stay busy during that time. It makes the time fly when you're reaching out and helping others. Think about when you're stuck on the interstate, what a great opportunity to dial up someone to give encouragement, reach out to someone who is struggling, make that connection. We can always use those times when we're patient to reach out and do something for others. Last thing I'll share with you is, while we're waiting, is to prepare. You know, when you think about it, mothers know this really well. Mothers are experts at preparing. Think about, from the pregnancy takes about 9 months, right? Mothers instinctively know how to prepare for the baby that's coming. You ever thought about what would happen if that waiting wasn't involved? What would happen if babies came in a week? It'd be wouldn't go well, right? That period of waiting is important, and that period of preparing. Let's read chapter 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 15. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 15. It says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied in the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicated when he was testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those that have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desired to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient, cheerful children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Think about the preparation that spoke of there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Find another thought on preparation. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and in fear. Always be ready. Prepare. It's very, very important. So as we think, you know, we've seen a couple things in this lesson tonight. We've seen that patience is the very nature of God. We've seen that our world is not patient, and we will be tested in this way. We will be tested in this way, and we're tested more and more all of the time based on the impatience of those around us. We've seen patience as having important for our spiritual development. We've talked about what we should focus on while we're waiting. We've talked about pray, listen, obey, look for good, do something for others, and prepare. I want to close tonight with another example of patience. This story is about a father whose son really tested his patience. And I know some fathers in here, some parents have had children behind before that have really tested their patience. This story could be about a son, it could be about a daughter, it could be about another family member, but someone that really tests the patience. But this story is special because although it comes from the Bible, it's literally repeated all the time in our modern world. You may know of somebody in this story. The story is from Luke chapter 15, 11 through 32, the story of the prodigal son. Think about this. The son rebelled against his father, chose to leave home to take everything that, take his inheritance and depart. But his actions were not consistent with his father's plans. And Luke 15 tells us about the prodigal son. And he took everything, wasted everything, made a mess of his life, really tested his father's patience. But look at how the son reacts in verse 20. Talks about the prodigal son who comes home, and he, with eager anticipation, he sees him out in a far-off distance and comes home to welcome his son home. You think about the patience that father exhibited during that period of time, and yet his son came home. And then there was a party. Then there was a great celebration for his son who had come back. Our God is absolutely an example of our God that came for us, has been waiting for us patiently, just as we read in the beginning of the study tonight, patiently for us, not hoping that any should perish, but all should come back to forgiveness. If you have an opportunity tonight, if you've been patient, or if you know that you've tried someone's patience, think about these things that we've spoke of tonight, but especially think about becoming a Christian. If you have that opportunity tonight, we'd love for you to come forward. Come forward for the one who is all patient and become a member of his family. As together we stand and sing.